Well, good morning, everyone. If you don't know me, my name is Jen or Jennifer or whatever's easiest for you. And I'm excited that we get to look at this psalm together this morning, Psalm 66. Thank you, Claire, for reading that so beautifully this morning. And before I start, will you pray with me? Lord, we thank you that you are here. Lord, we thank you that we have this freedom in our country to gather together, Lord, and worship your name. Lord, I thank you that you long to meet with us. Lord, and you long to speak with us. Lord, I pray for less of me and more of you. Lord, I pray that the things from you will stick to our hearts this morning, and the things from me will fall away, Lord. In your name, amen. So really quickly, if you don't know what a psalm is a book in the Bible. The Bible is made up of 66 books, and some are historical books, some are books of wisdom, and the psalms are a book of poetry. Please don't tune out when I say poetry. I hate poetry too. We're not going to be looking at all this like in-depth pathetic fallacy stuff. I've chucked that word out so that you think I'm really smart and hopefully listen to everything else I'm going to say. So let me know if that works. But we're not going to look at all that stuff. Psalm 66 is actually quite a literal psalm, which I was really glad about when God drew me to this psalm. And when I first read this psalm, it really reminded me of this game that we used to play at school. I call it a game. It's not even really a game. And I don't know if you played this, but we used to have these little playground competitions. And so we'd go out into the playground, we'd be a little group of us gathering, and we'd be like, my dad's taller than your dad, or my dad's cooler than your dad. I don't know why, but we turned absolutely everything into a competition. And it was like the older or the taller or the cooler your dad was, that's how you just won. It wasn't a very exciting game, that was it. And I don't know why, but I seem to have this ability to wipe the floor with my friends at this game. And I want to say it's because my dad's really, really cool, and he is, but that's not why. It was mainly because I had the tendency to exaggerate. And my brother and sister used to just lie to me about my parents and see how much I believed it, because I'm a very gullible person. And so my friends would come up to me and they'd be like, my dad works with planes, which is quite a solid, it's quite a good place to start. And I'd say, my dad knows Braille. Like, when you say your dad knows Braille, that is a mic drop moment. Like, he doesn't know Braille. I didn't even know what Braille was, but I was told that he knew it, and I thought, this is going to win. And it did, every time. And yeah, we just talked for hours and hours and just shouting about how great our dads were. And honestly, that's what the first 12 verses of this psalm reminded me of. They're like, my God's so powerful. The earth bows to my God. I can just imagine this little Jewish kid coming up to all the other nations' kids and being like, this one time we were running away from the Egyptians who had enslaved us for years and years, and we got to the Red Sea and its waves were roaring, you know, they were the height of like buildings. And then God just parted the seas and we just walked right through it on foot. Like, that's amazing. If that's not their mic drop moment, if they didn't win with that line, I don't know what they would have won by. And I think there's something in this psalm today that we can be really challenged by, that we should be challenged by, and that we can learn from. And it's that energy of just shouting about how great God is and what he has done. Just declaring that truth that my God is greater. My God is powerful. My God brought us out of slavery. You know, my God has slain giants. He tames the seas. My God sacrificed everything for me. Shout to joy, all the earth. Shout for joy to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of his name. Make his praise glorious. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. So great is your power that your enemies cringe before you. All the earth bows down to you. They sing praise to you. They sing the praises of your name. And I wonder what we as a family would look like. I wonder how we would see God move. If we went into our communities, to our workplaces, into our families, and just shouted unashamed, look how awesome God is. Look what he has done for me. For us. This morning I want to look at the power of testimony. And our testimony is a very churchy word. And if you don't know what it means, it's basically the story of how you met God, how you became a Christian, or any time really that God has impacted your life, any time God has been with you. I hope that makes sense. It's basically a testimony, it's us stating how God has moved in our lives. So I hope we're all on the same page. Now, has anyone heard of Roger Bannister? Little hands up. Oh, quite a few. Right. We are quite a clever church. I'm very impressed with you guys. I had not, but he was a runner in the 1950s. And now I like to classify myself as a runner. I'm not even really a runner. I did one half marathon and I thought, that's it, I'm done. But he was this runner. And in the 1950s, there was this whole debate within the scientific community and the running community whether it was humanly possible to run a mile in under 4 minutes. Now, for those of you who are wondering how far is a mile, it's about from here to B&Q. Okay, you might be thinking, oh, that's nothing, that's really short. You might be thinking, Jen, that's so far away. Whatever you're thinking, to run that in under 4 minutes, I think we can all agree, is insane. It's quite far away to run in that distance. And the science community, they're just like, it's impossible. You know, there has to be a limit on what the human body is physically capable of. You know, you can't run that distance in a minute. You can't run that distance in under 4 minutes. That's what was believed. But Roger Bannister, he stood there and he thought, no, I refuse to believe this. I think that it is possible to run this distance in under 4 minutes. And on May 6th, 1954, he did just that. He broke the four-minute barrier and ran a mile in 3:59. Talk about a close call, right? And it was an amazing achievement. And do you know what I find crazy? It's the impact it's had on everyone else since. Because within a year, someone else had ran a mile in under 4 minutes. And now 1,497 people have been recorded to run a mile in under 4 minutes. You know, there's something really, really good to be said about Roger Bannister's faith and belief in the face of adversity that he could do it. But I want to focus on the impact of that testimony. Because other people saw Roger Bannister achieve this. Other people saw him break this thing that people were saying, it's impossible, you can't do it. Other people saw him achieve that, and then they thought, oh, I can do that. I can do that too. And that's the same with our faith. When we see other people step out in faith, when we see other people break these barriers that we thought were once impossible, and we see them do it, it gives us such courage and expectancy to think, oh, I can break through that barrier with God too. We see God move, we see him break these impossible barriers, and it gives us such expectancy that he can move through us and do the same too. We see in the Bible God works in impossible or backwards ways all the time. The Bible is one big testimony to the goodness of God. And time after time, God does these amazing things through people who are, quite frankly, bang average, if that. Like the Psalm says, that massive mic drop moment, that parting of the seas, that incredible miracle. Do you know who God used to do that? Moses. A murderer, arguably a coward who ran away from home instead of facing what he had done. And a man who, when God said to him, Moses, I want to use you, I want to use you to free my people, Moses went, no. Don't ask me, like, I can't do that. That is not my skill set. Like, I don't want to do that. Nope. You've made a mistake. Choose anyone else. But God chose him. God uses ordinary humans all the time, people like you and me, to do amazing things. And that might feel quite daunting. You might feel a little bit like Moses, like, no, I can't do that. Let me tell you, you can't. Moses couldn't part the Red Sea. That was nothing to do with Moses. All he did was be obedient to God. And that's all that God asks us, is that we be obedient to him, and he will do the rest. Look at the disciples. You know, I love them. I love them so much. But they're just teenage boys. And they can be real plonkers sometimes. I really don't know what they think half the time. But God uses them to do amazing things, like through the disciples, the sick are healed, the lame walk, the deaf hear, the dead rise. And that's clearly none of their own strength, but it's God's strength through them. And I don't know about you, but I want to be expectant this morning. I want to be expectant of God to move. I want to see the sick healed. I want to see the seas part. I want to see people freed from addiction. I want to see God move. Do you want to see God move, church? Because if we do, it all comes from a place of our individual testimony with God, our individual relationship with God. You know, the seas were parted and the whole of Israel was led to safety. The whole of Israel had this incredible testimony about how God had seen them through this sea. But that was because Moses, after his wobble, said, "Okay, God, I'm with you. Tell me what you want to do, I'll do it." I'm paraphrasing slightly, but that's basically what happened. A whole community was freed from slavery and had this incredible testimony because God chose to work through Moses, and Moses said, "Okay." Do you see the effects an individual relationship and willingness to be used by God can have on a whole community? We see it again and again, and in the New Testament, we see it really powerfully in John 4. It's a story of the woman at the well. I know many of you will know this story. There's a woman who's completely outcast by her whole community. And one day she meets Jesus at this well, and she has this insane conversation with him. I'm talking like he tells her everything she's ever done. And he tells her that he's the Savior, that he's the Messiah, which is just a Savior, but it's so much more than that. It's God on earth. And they've been waiting for this Messiah for so long. And just a fun little bracket. In John's Gospel, this woman, this disgraced Samaritan woman, is the first person that Jesus tells that he's the Messiah to. I think that's just a really interesting thought that I'm just going to put out there and not come back to. But anyway, this amazing encounter that she has with Jesus, God himself on earth, and she cannot contain her excitement. She goes back to her community, these people who have bullied her, rejected her, despised her. She goes back to them. And the Bible says, because of her testimony, many of the Samaritans, many of the people group in her town, many of the Samaritans from that town believed in Jesus because of the woman's testimony. A woman who was shunned from her whole community, but because of her individual relationship with God, because of her encounter with Jesus, a whole community became believers. Jesus uses our testimonies so powerfully. And her individual testimony couldn't have been long. You know, they were sat in the midday sun. I doubt they were there for like 20 hours. They were there for about 2 hours. That's just my opinion. That's not fact. But they weren't there for long. And her testimony wasn't even long. All we get is, "Come see this man who told me everything I ever did." And sometimes we can worry when sharing our testimonies that we don't have the most exciting testimonies. We can worry that, you know, maybe you weren't saved from this pit of venomous snakes miraculously one day. You know, maybe you think, "Oh, I'm not a very good storyteller, so what's the point in me trying to share my testimony because it's literally going to do nothing?" But let me tell you, all testimonies have power because of the power that is at work in them. All testimonies have power because of the power that is at work in them. And this is the leap of faith moment. The moment you say, "Oh, I want to see you move, God." Because me telling a story about my life isn't going to change a community, quite frankly. But me sharing how God came into my life and took me from life to death, how he took me from just a pit of hopelessness and now I experience life and life in all its fullness. Yeah, that's what changes communities. When you let others witness the power of God, the transformational power. And I want us to think, how do we think that God wants to use us? And a great way to think about that, a great way to do that, is just ask. Just ask God, pray. And if you want someone to pray with you, but you don't know anyone who will pray with you, I can tell you, you are in luck this morning. Because we have an amazing prayer team. So if you just come down to this front section, Someone from the prayer team would love to pray with you and how God wants to use you, how he wants to work through you. I'll be sat down here. So if you don't even want to talk to someone you don't know, you can come talk to me. It's fine. I've chatted for ages now. We're like friends. And so far this morning, I feel like I've talked a lot about testimonies that are full of hope and miraculous wonders and miracles and great things, which is great. They're amazing testimonies. But you know what I've really, really loved about Psalm 66 is that it didn't shy away from the hard-hitting questions. Of course, it's easy to praise God when you see the seas part. But in Psalm 66, it says, "For you, God, tested us. You refined us like silver. You brought us into prison and laid burdens on our backs. You let people ride over our heads. We went through fire and water, but you brought us to a place of abundance." You see, sharing a testimony isn't all about just sharing all the good, great stuff that God's done. It's sometimes sharing our lowest lows too. We share when we didn't hear anything. When we see poverty in the world and it just breaks our hearts and I can't understand it. We share when we have a global pandemic and millions die and plenty more people are left with emotional damage. We share when my grandma had this sudden stroke and I prayed and I prayed and I prayed for healing and she just died. This psalm is written after slavery. It's written after the desert wandering. And the author has the benefit of seeing that was a refining process, of looking back and seeing we were brought to a place of abundance, we're in a better place. But some people never saw that. Some people died in slavery and some people died in the desert. Now, we might not see the fruit yet. We might never see the fruit yet of what we're going through. And that is a really, really hard thing to swallow. And I am not smart enough to give you the answers or the reasons why. And if you're feeling like that, I'm so sorry. But let us pray with you. Let us sit with you. Let us mourn with you and be family with you together. And when I think about a time of being burdened, of being lost in a place of utter despair, I think about Job. I absolutely love the book of Job, and we did a series on it a little while ago, which you can go and see. I absolutely love it, and I won't be able to explain it properly now, so please go read it, go chat about it. But basically, Job loses everything. He loses his family, his health, his friends, his plot of land. He loses absolutely everything he's ever owned and cared for. And you know, the first thing Job does is he gets down on his knees and worships God. Like, what a challenge for us this morning. As Ricky was saying earlier, in the midst of suffering, in the midst of all of that, Job chooses to declare truth. And you know what I love about Job's story? What I love about Job's testimony is that it brought me so much hope. That there was no control over whether bad things happen. There's no magic prayer. There's no magic thing to do. It's just the result of a broken world. And whether we can understand that or not this morning, the point I want to make is that Job's testimony brought me hope. When I was in a place where the testimonies of joy and hope just could not reach me, Job's testimony broke through. God has this amazing way of using those testimonies, of using those times to break through to others. You know, when I was younger, I suffered from depression, and I think there are some points I want to make clear. I don't think that was something that God gave to me, but I think it was something that God uses and continues to use. And let me tell you, I'd go through it all over again because it has allowed me to reach people and places that I would not be able to reach now. Because God used that testimony for me to reach others going through that struggle and pull them out of it. To say, hey, look at what God has done through me. Look, God is real. God is amazing. God has power over depression. And I see it all the time with all types of painful testimonies. God uses them to set others suffering in the same way free. And being involved in someone's healing, in someone meeting God, in someone crying out to God in that time of pain, I can genuinely think of no better thing to be involved in. And I do want to quickly just highlight this. I don't want everyone to be going around shouting about all the things that they're struggling with, because the testimony of hurt and hardship, it is really emotional and raw. And I want us to do this wisely. I have this really, it's a really cheesy quote, so I do apologize, but it's a really cheesy quote from one of my lecturers at uni. And he said, share your scars and not your wounds. And I just think that that's so great. I think I'm able to just share my depression because that is a scar that is gone, that is sorted. God has worked me through that. And I think it's really important to share our scars because it shows openness, it shows honesty, it shows vulnerability, it shows, hey, look how my God can move. Look how he works. Isn't this incredible that he has brought me from this place to this place? But our wounds, we share them with a small group of people who sit with us and work through it and support us through that. And if you don't have that small group, please come down for prayer. Let us connect you in. Let us work through that with you. And I've jumped around a lot here this morning, and I've covered a lot. But I just really feel like God has something powerful to say through testimonies. I just really feel like he wants to challenge us this morning on, hey, how can we encourage? How can we share? How can we be shouting about who God is and what he has done? Testimonies, they fill us with expectancy. They make the impossible seem possible. All testimonies have power because of the power that is at work within them. And testimonies can bring breakthrough to hopeless situations. So what do we do about that? I love in the psalm, it talks about he comes and he brings offerings to God. Because in that day and age, that's what they did. They came to the temple and they brought these offerings to God. In our context, we don't do that anymore. But we still can bring an offering of our life. We still come before God and say, hey, God, I don't know how you want to move, but I just want to give you everything. Use it however you want, but I want to offer up my life for you to use however you see fit. And let us be a church, a family, that just shouts about how great God is. Like in Psalm 66, let us go into our communities, to our families, to our workplaces, and just declare, hey, look what God has done. Look how I've seen him move. Let's pray for God to work through us. If you want to see him move, pray. Pray for you, pray for your family, pray for us as a church. And if you're in that place of being in prison and you can't see an end, reach out. Ask for help. Let us be a family to you. And I'm going to close in prayer in a second. And I really want to encourage you. I want to encourage you, if you want that boldness to share your testimony, if you want to know how God wants to work through you and use you, I just encourage you just to hold out your hands as a physical act to yourself and to God, just saying, hey, I'm open. This is my offering. It's not much, but this is what I'm offering to you, Lord. I give it to you all. So let's just pray. Lord, I thank you that you choose to work through us. Lord, we thank you that the privilege that it is that we can be your hands and your feet. Lord, I thank you that we have a testimony to share. Lord, we thank you for your sacrifice and how you continue to move day in and day out through us. Lord, I pray for boldness for each and every one of us to just shout unashamed all you have done and declare your joy and your goodness. Lord, be with us, I pray. Make us more like you. Let us never forget that all you have done. And let us just show your love to those around us. In your name, amen.